does not only live by what he eats, man also lives by where it came from.
Dr. Tony Evans reminds us that true life flows only from God.
I'd rather have no earthly satisfaction without, as long as I have heavenly satisfaction within. Give me the will of God.
This is the Alternative Broadcast, featuring the timeless biblical teachings from the archives of Dr. Tony Evans. If you feel powerless to resist temptation, Dr. Evans says you might be searching for your overcoming power in the wrong places. Today, he explains how to tap into the victory Christ has already secured for you. Let's join him now as he opens with this story.
One day, a woman brought a very, very, very expensive dress. Well, she brought it home, and her husband found out how much she spent on it. He said, "Why in the world would you buy that expensive dress? You know we can't afford it." The woman looked at her husband and said, "But honey, you don't understand. The devil made me do it." She said, "I tried it on, and the devil said to me, 'You look awesome, girlfriend, in that dress. That's you all over. You've got to have that dress.'" To which her husband said, "Then why didn't you tell the devil, 'Get thee behind me, Satan?'" She said, "I did tell the devil, 'Get thee behind me, Satan.' And he went behind me and told me I look good there too." That humorous story is designed to raise the issue of victory over the evil one. Fundamentally, that is an issue of power. And that's what I want to talk to you about: fasting for power. Now, the concept of power today is abused and misused. Unregulated power is chaos. But in my context, I'm talking about experiencing the legitimate power of God to face Satan in his own territory. As long as you live in this world, you're going to have to battle with him. As long as you name the name of Jesus Christ, you have a fight on your hands. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, "Satan is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He has jaws that has pressure that can crush you and me." One of the answers God has given to deal with the devil and his attempts to overthrow your life in whatever capacity he seeks to do it, or to overthrow your world or your relationship or whatever it is fasting. One of the most noted stories in all of the Bible is the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness by the devil. And relative to this series, it highlights the priority and the significance of fasting. Look with me in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Jesus has just been baptized, and there has been a public inauguration of his public ministry. As a result, the Spirit of the Lord led Jesus into the wilderness to be tested of the devil. In anticipation of this mega battle, Jesus fasted. He gave up food in order to prepare for this crisis situation. Please note that he did not use fasting to escape his mission. He used fasting to have victory through his mission. He didn't fast to say, "Lord, get me out of this." He fasted to say, Lord, take me through it victoriously. Many of us want power sometimes to get out of it, whatever we happen to be facing, when what we need is power to go through it because God is leading us to it. Everything that you face is not something God wants you to run from. Every problem you have is not something that God wants to get you out of. Fasting allowed Jesus Christ to be prepared for the greatest assault he would experience prior to the cross. Now, what was Satan after here? Simple. Keeping Jesus from fulfilling his mission. As simple as that. He did not want the mission accomplished. And neither does he want the mission of your life accomplished. And so he's out to stop you. He gives Jesus three tests that God allows. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Test number one, Satan offers Jesus satisfaction without God. He's hungry. He's been fasting for 40 days. Since you are, if means since, assume the reality, since you are the Son of God, since you're God's son, you've got the power to turn these stones into bread. He wanted Jesus to act independent of his Father, not because food is bad, but what he wanted him to do was get food without it honoring God. He wanted him to be independent. Now, let me tell you what he's saying that's not written in the text, but behind the meaning of what he is saying. He's saying, if God really loved you, he wouldn't let you go hungry. So since God let you go hungry, he really doesn't care that much about you, because if he cared that much about you, this wouldn't be happening to you. And since it is happening to you, which proves that God doesn't care that much about you, you have to take care of yourself, because nobody else is going to take care of you. He may not be saying that regarding food in your life, but he's saying it regarding something. If God really loved me, would I still be single? If God really loved me, would I still be without this job? If God really loved me, would I still not have gotten this promotion? If God really loved me, would I still not be able to get pregnant? If God really loved me, would I still not be able to get my life together? He wants to call into question the goodness of God because you feel hunger pains. And see, when you feel hunger pains, the devil sounds like he may know a little bit about what he's talking about. Because I'm hungry. Daddy hasn't supplied any food. He can't expect me to starve. Therefore, maybe I can't count on God. So the first test was to get Jesus to satisfy his own hunger independently of God. Look at Jesus' response. Jesus answered and said, it is written, verse 4, man shall not live on bread alone. In Matthew's account, he continues, but in every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4 records the same story as well. Now that is a quotation from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Israel is going through the wilderness. Now watch this now. If you missed this, you missed the point. Israel is going through the wilderness, and the question was, how were they going to eat out there in the wilderness? And God rained down cornflakes from above. It was called manna, angel food cake, if you will. He rained down manna from above and fed them supernaturally. Jesus quotes Deuteronomy to the devil and says, when Israel came through this wilderness, God supernaturally met them at their point of need with something that had previously been unheard of, manna. Manna had never been seen before that day. Israel got to eat in the wilderness, not by the normal mechanism of eating, because that was not available to them. God had to supernaturally break through and supply their need. So, devil, let me explain something to you. Man does not only live by what he eats. Watch this. Man also lives by where it came from. If I eat the food right now and turn this stone into croissants, then I will have eaten food, but I will have eaten food at your instruction. So you would become the Lord of my life. I'd rather go hungry and wait for a supernatural provision of manna from heaven than to be full at the dictate of the devil. I'd rather have no earthly satisfaction without, as long as I have heavenly satisfaction within. Give me the will of God.
Dr. Evans will have more on fasting for power when he returns in just a moment. First, though, I want to let you know that the lesson we're hearing today is the final installment in a powerful series exploring what the Bible has to say about fasting. The complete collection of all 14 full-length messages in this two-volume series is available as our thank you gift to those who make a contribution to help support the ministry of The Alternative. This is the final day for this offer, so visit us right away at tonyevans.org to request your copy. You'll receive all 14 audio messages, along with an extra bonus, our Hope for the Hurting Leader Kit. In it, Dr. Evans provides practical spiritual insights for navigating life's trials, even during times of deep hurt. The kit includes the Hope for the Hurting book, study guide, printed content for 6 sessions, special access to teaching videos, and more. Whether you use it for a small group study or simply for your own personal growth, this is a valuable resource to help in times of hurt or pain. This unique double offer ends today, so be sure to contact us right away at tonyevans.org to make your contribution and request. Or you can call 1-800-800-3222, where a member of our team is ready to help. I'll repeat that contact information for you after the second part of today's lesson and this.
Ever feel intimidated by the thought of reading the Bible like you're not ready? The Unbound Podcast with Dr. Tony Evans shares insights and hope for struggles like these. Listen to guest speaker Amanda Bible Williams.
We have put barriers up between ourselves and God's Word. We think it was hard the first time. This must not be for me. We think we're supposed to be a certain type of person, but yeah, we keep going. That's because right. It matters to us.
Listen now to the Unbound Podcast.
You'll find the Unbound Podcast with Tony Evans on his YouTube channel or on your favorite podcast platform. Right now, let's get back to today's message.
You remember in John chapter 4 what he told his disciples when they brought him food? He said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." If you want to know what satisfies me is the will of God. Jesus would rather die than not be in the will of God. Now, let me tell you another point before we move on. But watch this now, because here is the bottom line. What satisfies you most? Watch this now. What satisfies you most? God or his gifts? Now, you got to think about that one. You see, if it's the gifts that satisfy you most, then the source won't matter that much. If it's the gift that satisfies you most, then where it came from won't be that relevant. But if it's the source, God, that satisfies you most, then where it came from will matter more than anything else. You know what we have done? We have fallen more in love with God's gifts than the one who gave it. That's why our prayers are filled with gimme, 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 because you're my Santa Claus in the sky. And I love your gifts. That's why we praise him when he does a big thing for us and have little to say when nothing's going on. Because what we really love are the gifts. Oh, but I like what Habakkuk says. Let me read it to you. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, listen to these words. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, nothing's going on, everything's dry in my life, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, I lose some of my cattle, and there be no cattle in the stall. In other words, everything's the opposite of what I need from God. Yet, he says in verse 18, I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places. I want to know, do you praise him when you don't get the raise? I want to know, do you praise him when the car breaks down? I want to know, do you praise him when you're still by yourself? You must measure God by God. And if God has given you hinds feet, if he's put joy in your heart, if he's put stability in your life, then you ought to praise him. Lord, I'm not eating, but thank you, I'm alive. Lord, things are not where I want them to be, but thank you that I'm not where I used to be. Lord, I didn't get the promotion, but thank you, I still have a job. Lord, you've been good regardless of my circumstances. Jesus says, I'm hungry, but I'm still not going to eat because you say eat. I'm going to go hungry in God's will, then be full outside of it. His second test. In verse 5, he led him and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you all the domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. The first test was satisfaction without God. The second test was success without God. I'm going to give you the stuff. The stuff. Just because you have stuff don't mean you've been blessed. Jesus said to him, you shall, verse 8, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. See, it was a matter of worship. Now, I don't know if you noticed the difference in language and what Satan said and what Jesus said. Satan said, if you fall down and worship me, I'll give you stuff. Jesus says, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Yeah. Jesus adds a word Satan didn't use, serve. Because, see, whoever you worship, you serve. The third test, test number 3, verse 9, and he led them to Jerusalem to stand on the pinnacle of the temple, 450 feet high, by the way, and said to him, since you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. Oh, devil gets into a Bible study. He tried to get Jesus to question God, to question God's love, because if he loved you, you wouldn't be hungry, to question hope, because you may not get the kingdom if you don't take it from me, and to question God's faithfulness. Can you really trust him to give you the recognition that you deserve? I think you ought to put your own name in the paper. Don't humble yourself, perform. So that was a question. Where did Jesus get the power from? He needed the power because Satan was going to come right at him. But where did he get the power from? Let me say a word about the resources of power. And the reason I want to say a word about it is because the same stuff Jesus used is available to you and me. Resource number one that gave him power was his spiritual relationship to the Father. Verse 22 of chapter 3 says that the heavens opened, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, a voice came out of heaven, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. You say that refers to Jesus. Oh, yes. But he was, guess what? The firstborn of many brethren. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 1 says, we are accepted in the beloved. Jesus is God's one-of-a-kind son, but he's not his only baby boy. When you came to God through Christ, you became Jesus' brother or sister and God's son or daughter, and therefore, God is your daddy. Second thing he had was the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. Guess what you have? The Holy Spirit. You know what that is? A powerful person living right inside of you. You are not this empty 100-pound spiritual weakling. When you are filled with the Spirit, heaven has set up shop in your soul. And Satan can talk a good game, but he can only deceive you. He know he must deceive you, because if you ever wake up and find out who you are, he's got to back down, because God has set up shop in you. He also had the Word of God. Now, if Jesus, the living Word, who wrote the written Word, needed to use the written Word to deal with Satan, how much do you and I, who have never written any Word, need to use that same Word? See, Satan is allergic to the Word. He goes, achoo, when he runs into the Word. Jesus quoted the Word. He didn't say, well, let me think about it. He said, let me tell you what God said. One of the reasons you ought to learn the Word is so you can have a Bible study with the devil. But now you can't read what you don't know. You can't remember what you've never learned when it is you. That's why verse 13 says, and when the devil had finished every temptation, tried every way he could, he departed from him. He couldn't handle the Word more than three verses, sends him into convulsions. Let me close with this. The result of power fasting, and when the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. An opportune time means he was coming back again. So don't think you whipped him today. You're not going to see him till next year. He's just going to wait till you die down a little bit. Till the fire goes. Jesus' victory for us means he can have victory through us. Fasting gave Jesus awareness of spiritual things. It intensified his soul sensitivity, even though he had to pay the price of physical hunger. But because the battle was so great, the need was so deep, he was willing to have greater spiritual fullness if it meant having weaker physical fullness. I like the way Matthew puts it. It says, and the angels came and fed him. Angel food cake. Manna from on high. That's what I like. When you're doing this thing God's way, you never know how you're going to come. You never know how the angels are going to come through. It says the angels came and gave him strength, gave him worship, and gave him food because he stood fast.
Dr. Tony Evans, encouraging you to trust God for everything you need, as he wraps up his powerful topical study simply entitled Fasting. As Tony has reminded us, fasting is an often overlooked Christian discipline that can take your relationship with the Lord to the next level. If you missed any of these lessons or want to review the full-length messages, including material we didn't have time to present on the broadcast, you can get all 14 lessons on CD or digital download as our gift when you make a donation to the Alternative Ministry. And as an added thank you, we'll also include our Hope for the Hurting Leader Kit. Just visit us online at tonyevans.org or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222 to make the arrangements. But do it right away. Today is the final day we'll be offering this special resource bundle. That's 1-800-800-3222 or online at tonyevans.org. The details can be found right on the homepage. Almost every day, we're faced with stories of prejudice, injustice, and cultural clashes. Dr. Evans says we're long overdue to recognize the spiritual nature of the problem. And tomorrow, he'll share how the Bible can help us address the issue of racism. I hope you'll join us.